You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
This week, the last of the elements discovered in the small town of Itterby. And its compounds appear to have a multitude of uses. Simon Cotton.
Why? This is not a question. Why is the symbol for the element yttrium? Until about 20 years ago, most scientists had not heard of it, other than vaguely noting where it was in the periodic table, under scandium and above lanthanum. Some people might just have known it was one of four chemical elements named after the small Swedish town of Itterby, along with ytterbium, erbium and terbium. Then in 1986, two scientists working at IBM in Zurich, George Bednors and Karl Müller, found that lanthanum barium copper oxide became superconducting at what was then almost a record high temperature, 35 degrees above absolute zero. In other words, below minus 238 degrees C, the compound's electrical resistance disappeared. Bednors and Müller won the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1987 for this discovery. This prompted other scientists to dust off their periodic tables and to try switching the lanthanum portion for other similar metals. Two American professors, Mo Quen Wu and Paul Chu, together with their research groups at the universities of Alabama and Houston, studied yttrium barium copper oxide. It has the formula YBa2Cu3O7, and it is often called YbCO for short. They found it became superconducting 95 degrees below absolute zero, minus 178 degrees C. This may not seem much of a temperature difference, but it meant that YbCO could be kept in the superconducting state using liquid nitrogen, rather than the much more expensive liquid helium. This has inspired lots more studies over the past 20 years. The ultimate objective, the Holy Grail, is to find a material that would superconduct at room temperature, but no one has got there yet. There are many possible applications for YbCO. For example, MRI scanners could be made to operate more cheaply at a higher temperature using liquid nitrogen coolant. At present, though, there are technical problems preventing these commercial applications. One is that in order to superconduct at 95K, the YbCO has got to be slightly oxygen deficient, to have just a bit less than 7 oxygen atoms per yttrium atom. The exact amount is crucial and tricky to achieve. Other problems include making the YbCO in the right state. A lot of research is going to making thin films of it, and finding a way of making it into a continuous wire, rather than just an assembly of crystals packed together that are unable to conduct decent currents. Investigators are looking at depositing YbCO on top of flexible metal wires, and research into this continues. Apart from this, though, there are lots of everyday applications for yttrium compounds. In its compounds, yttrium is always present as the yttrium 3 plus ion, which means it is colourless and has no unpaired electrons. Therefore, it does not have any interesting magnetic or spectroscopic properties of its own. The upside of this is that yttrium compounds make very good host materials for other lanthanides. The most familiar application lies in the red phosphor in cathode ray tubes as used in traditional colour TV sets. This is made of yttrium oxysulfide, Y2O2S, containing a small amount of trivalent europium ions. Similarly, yttrium hosts are often used to accommodate terbium ions, which are green phosphors. Such materials are used in the cool white fluorescent lamps. Yttrium aluminium garnet, also known as YAG, is a very important synthetic mineral. It is used to make hard, artificial diamonds, which sparkle just like the real ones. What is more, by introducing small quantities of lanthanide ions, materials with a range of useful properties can be made. Introduce a small amount of cerium, for example, and you've got a good yellow phosphor. Or add 1% of neodymium to YAG and you get the most widely used solid-state laser material. And erbium gives you an infrared laser. Yttrium also finds use in fuel cells for powering cars and buses, computers and digital phones, and, potentially, buildings. A small amount of yttrium oxide is added to zirconium oxide to make what is used as yttria-stabled zirconia, also called YSZ. This has the unusual property of conducting oxide ions, making it very useful in these fuel cells. YSZ is also used to make the lambda sensors fitted to the exhaust system of your car. These monitor the amount of oxygen in the exhaust gases and sends feedback to give the best air-fuel mixture into the engine. So, that's yttrium for you. Colourless, unspectacular, but undoubtedly fulfilling a lot of important supporting roles.
And so the Oscar for Best Supporting Role goes to, you guessed it, yttrium. That was Uppingham School's Simon Cotton with the multiple roles and uses of yttrium. Now next week, we've got an element that could take us into another dimension.
In 1949, Milton Smith published a short work of fiction that he entitled The Mystery of Element 117. The real element 117 is yet to be discovered. It's a blank space in the periodic table just below the halogens. Smith's 117, however, was a strange material that could be used to open a window to another dimension. He called it a magnetic monopole substance, one that, instead of having poles, plural, like an ordinary magnet, had a pole, singular. Now, whilst no reputable scientist would argue that a magnetic monopole could open an interdimensional portal, its existence isn't outside the realms of possibility, and if recent reports are anything to go by, it could depend on an otherwise mundane metallic element that you can find skulking around near the bottom of the periodic table, holmium.
And Hayley Birch will be revealing the truth about such mythical monopoles in next week's Chemistry in Its Element. Until then, I'm Meera Senthilingam, and thank you for listening.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.